You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The guys on the big show have been going at it for 3 hours, but they haven't crashed and burned. Yet.
Well, it's the big show.
It's time to reset today's big topics and let you pick a lane. Brought to you by the legendary Great Lakes Dragaway in Union Grove. Purchase your 2020 season passes at GreatLakesDragaway.com.
Yeah, welcome back. Wendy's Big Show, final hour. Tim Allen in for the guys today as Gary LeRoy and Sparky off today. They're back on Monday. Dan Plucker is here and Great Lakes Dragway pick a lane. We'll start with the left lane. The NBA is ready to fire up on the 31st under the bubble in Orlando. And how are things going to go with that? That's the left lane, if you want to comment on that. The right lane is the fans in the stands. And then the Green Bay Packers putting things in order to prepare for fans in the stands and prepare for no fans in the stands. Your response to that at 799-1250. In the return lane, the Washington Redskins, should they finally change the name Redskins to another one? I say yes, and the reason why is it's an easy fix. If it offends people, then change it. Especially if it's easy. I mean, that part of it is amazing to me. I think Daniel Snyder, the owner of the Washington Redskins, will come out with more money throughout all of this, and will come out better, in a better situation, in a duration of time. There's no doubt in my mind he will come out, the situation would be a lot better. Left lane, I'm going to focus on that lane, the NBA, and there are a lot of different angles on this, a ton of different angles on this, and this is something that all of these comments, I'm going to read you here from officials, players, coaches around the NBA, including a couple of Bucks with some quotes here. As you measure risk and you measure a lot of things with the NBA, whether or not the championship would be tainted, whether or not the safety protocols are proper, one of the players was saying, you know, you can do this, but you can't play ping pong. So they're starting to sort of nitpick at the safety guidelines, but I'm for an overload of information. Now, I'm all for that. And the safety protocols in both baseball and basketball, just overload the safety protocols, and that way, you know, you're covered on pretty much everything. I just go around the league here about the NBA restart. Raptors guard Fred VanVleet: "It sucks. It's terrible timing, but that's been 2020 for us. We all know the right thing to do is not play, to take a stand. Morally, yes, that makes sense, but life goes on. We're all young black guys. None of us want to give any money back, I don't think. I don't think that we should. I think that money can be used in better ways, in different ways. Racial injustice, social injustice, police brutality. All these things are not ending anytime soon. Our fight was long-term. That was part of my decision to go back. But if the league or more of my guys would have come together and said we didn't want to play, I would have sat out as well. I would have not fought it." That's Fred VanVleet. Clippers coach Doc Rivers, quote: "There are so many reasons for everybody to play, but there are also very valid reasons for guys to opt out. I don't think many will. I think they're all invested in what we're trying to do." That's from Doc Rivers. Lou Williams of the Clippers will stay right there in L.A. Quote, I got a lot of flack and other guys are getting flack for saying, well, maybe we shouldn't play. Because the reality is this, we have millions of people in the streets protesting. This, the first time that 50 states have had people protesting for one cause. We don't want to be a distraction from that. We want to be an added help to the cause. I think they can do that, added help to that cause. Wizards guard Bradley Beal chimes in. I am still working my tail off every single day as if I am playing. It is more or less a decision that will come down to the medical staff and coming back from 0 to 100. And then I have some nagging stuff from the end of the year that we are trying to clean up as well. We are looking at it from all angles. And that's another thing. It's not just the COVID thing with getting these leagues back together. It's the physical health of some of these ball players. Nets GM Sean Marks, we have a job to do. We have to bring a team to Orlando, and we will go down there and compete. It doesn't sound like he's fully on board, but he's, you know, following what the league is doing. Pacers guard Victor Oladipo. A part of rehab is working your way back and getting yourself to 100%. So at the end of the day, and turning things up as quickly as we are and pretty much going into playoff formation, after 8 games, I'm more susceptible to injuries than anyone else is. So it's not about now, it's about longevity. And I totally understand that one. Dan, didn't he opt out earlier today?
Who is that? I'm sorry. I'm reading some breaking news. Oladipo did, correct. So I got some breaking news too, so let me pull that in here. Breaking news on the Fan, brought to you by Dell Technologies Small Business Pod Friends. Go listen at radio.com/Dell. So there's been a lot of talk about the NBA and having different names on the back of their jerseys rather than their name themselves. Here are the approved social justice messages that can be placed on the back of NBA jerseys that the NBA and NBAPA reached an agreement on moments ago. So here they are. Black Lives Matter, Say Their Name, Vote, I Can't Breathe, Justice, Peace, Equality, Freedom, Enough, Power to the People, Justice Now, Say Her Name, Si Se Puede, which means Yes We Can, Liberation, See Us, Hear Us, Respect Us, Love Us, Listen, Listen to Us, Stand Up, Ally, Anti-Racist, I Am a Man, Speak Up, How Many More, Group Economics, Education Reform, and Mentor.
Okay, and those are all pre-approved, and those are all of them that
those are
they have
all
to choose
the ones
from?
That they can choose from that have been approved by the NBA and NBAPA.
Okay, fair enough. And I absolutely 100% approved by the NBAPA. I mean, that's the key there. I would assume they're all submitted by the Players Association. I would assume, or most of them. Hey, that's their deal, and that's our deal as well, to read them and to do what we need to do. That's interesting. Because I know there was some talk of not putting the actual names of any victims.
Yeah, they were afraid that that was going to end up being a bad thing in case somebody got forgotten, and they didn't want anybody's family members to be upset sure. if a name had been forgotten by an NBA
yeah,
player.
No, that's valid, too. Continuing with the NBA whip around, Lakers VP Rob Pelinka, I've had nights at dinner where I look over and my 10-year-old daughter has tears in her eyes, and I ask her why, and she says it's because daddy could be gone for 3.5 months. Yes, that stuff is part of this, but I think she understands the bigger picture. He can choose a different job if he wants. He's more than welcome to do that. Celtics guard Kemba Walker, I think everybody's situation is obviously different. Some guys have families, kids, wives. For me, I'm a single man with no kids, so I'm going to be fine. All I do is stay in the house anyway. So there's nothing wrong with me staying in a room. Okay, that sounds like me, the lonesome loser. Magic guard DJ Augustine, leaving family is probably the most challenging part for me, especially right now. A few weeks ago, maybe 3 weeks ago, my father-in-law passed away, so my wife, she really needs me right now. But at the same time, she really understands what I need to do for my job and for our family. Again, that's a good philosophy. DeMar DeRozan of the Spurs. It's tough. You're taking guys that have been with their families every single day for the past few months, and all of a sudden, separated. Everybody, putting them into a combined space. It'll be something for every single player when it comes to mental health. And that's, you know, that's part of it that you got to consider as well. Luka Doncic of the Mavs chimes in with this quote. I never hesitated. I always wanted to play. I miss basketball a lot, so I just want to play. There's no question about me. It seems, guys, it seems that there was a little bit of a divide in that Players Association. I'm not digging for any mud here. I'm just saying it's just based on reading some of these comments from the NBA players and staff that there seemed to be a little bit of a divide there. And the crazy thing is, though, some of these players can opt out. And if they've got the money to opt out, I fully respect that, and they've earned that. Thunder guard Chris Paul, we understand how powerful our voice is. And so even if we're back to playing, we understand that our voice can still be heard. Our message can still be screamed loud and clear. So just know that you are going to continue to hear us. Just know that it's never a shut up and dribble situation. Bradley Beal, we stopped playing basketball because of COVID. We didn't stop playing because of social justice. I feel like we can still raise that awareness and we can still bring attention to what's going on in this world by utilizing this platform and utilizing names on the back of our jerseys. Like doing it so people get pissed off and tired of seeing it. That is the messaging that we are trying to get, because that is the only real change that we are going to generate. Statements are great. We can speak out, but if we're not actively doing things and getting involved and showing our faces at these meetings with local officials and lawmakers and politicians and everyone who makes these decisions, then we are kind of chasing our tails in a way. Lakers forward Anthony Davis says this, I think we're stronger together. I think we're able to have more people in the room from other teams in Orlando and receive other ideas and figure out how we can change the world. What can we do individually and what can we do as a unit to make change? And I think the more people we have, the more minds we have, the more ideas and thoughts we can come up with to kind of change the world and kind of change what's going on. I like that a lot. And I agree with that. You get more angles, there's more things to chop up and to talk about. You might come up with some ideas that you haven't thought of. Mavericks owner Mark Cuban, if the players were taking a knee during the national anthem and they were being respectful, I would be proud of them. Hopefully I'd join them, whether it's holding their arm up in the air, whether it's taking a knee, whatever it is. I don't think this is an issue of respect or disrespect to the flag or to the anthem or to our country. I think this is more of a reflection of a player's commitment to our country and the fact that it's so important to them that they are willing to say what's in their heart and do what they think is right. Bucks guard Sterling Brown, quote, it's not like I'm just going out here and playing basketball just to get money and just to go sit back down. No, I've never done that and won't do that. I pretty much bridge the gap. I keep my main focus as to why I'm doing what I'm doing. And I know that my main focus is not just myself. I've got to feed myself, others around me, my family, friends, and community. I'm trying to elevate the Black community, so I'm doing it with a different focus and drive. That's from Sterling Brown. Mike Conley of the Jazz, this is a new situation for us all. Guys are going to do without having their normal routine, like at home, and normal recovery systems and schedules and regimens. It's just going to be something those who adjust to the uncomfortable circumstances will do the best. I agree with that as well, that you know, we don't think about the physical part of this, that, you know, your whole regiment, these guys are pro athletes, the best on the planet at what they do. And they're you know, used to this regimen to keep their bodies physically ready to go. That's going to be a big change. That's going to be a huge change. We'll continue with this and more. If you missed Pat Murphy in our conversation as the Brewers summer camp had their players and coaching staff report today, Really interesting stuff from Brewers bench coach Pat Murphy. That and more coming up. Wendy's Big Show here on The Fan. Yeah, welcome back. Wendy's Big Show here on AM 1250 and 105.7 FM. The Fan. Tim Allen in for the boys today. Dan Plucker is here. And Dan, before we get to some minor league baseball conversation, there are some odds out for the new name of the Washington football franchise.
That's right. This is from Bet Online. Here are the odds. So at plus 300, these are all really bad, by the way. At plus 300, the Washington Presidents. Plus 400, the Washington Generals. Also at 400, the Washington Lincolns.
Now, I don't mind the Generals.
Generals isn't bad. I agree. But that's also the name of the team that plays against the Harlem Globetrotters, I believe. So well, I don't think you necessarily want to cross those two.
Well, that's true. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, not that this matters, but I believe it was a USFL team back
really?
In the day.
Okay.
New Jersey Generals, I want to say.
Okay. Okay. Then also, so here's that, plus 500, the Washington Americans, Kings, and Memorials. So the Washington Memorials. How awful would that be? That's terrible.
What was the one before that?
The Kings.
Yeah, the one before that.
Americans.
Yeah, the Americans. I'd have to think about that.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what logo you're doing for that. Plus 600, we have the Washington Capitals. Again, yeah, also the hockey team.
I don't mind the Capitals. I kind of like that.
The Washington Veterans. Plus 700, the Washington Jeffersons and Roosevelts. Two separate names, not together.
Okay.
Plus 800, the Washington Monuments. And plus 1,000, the Washington Arlingtons. That's just confusing.
Yeah, it is. Wow.
So that's their list.
I don't mind the Generals.
Hey, I mean, the Harlem Globetrotters always beat up on the Generals, and the Redskins are, you know, the same thing in the NFL, so I guess that would work pretty well.
Minor League Baseball has been canceled for the 2020 campaign, and they were talking about contracting some 40 minor league teams anyway, and not that that should make a difference here, because there's a lot of people unemployed because of that decision. Due to a number of different factors. Earlier this week, from The Athletic, Emily Walden joined the boys. Check it out. They asked her, what's the minor league season? What's the minor leagues all about now?
You know, next year is going to be really, really interesting, just because next year we're also factoring in the affiliate cuts that Commissioner Manfred announced for 2021. So as of right now, that list includes at least 42 teams. That list could kind of shift a little bit between now and next year. So right now, I think a lot of teams do feel still kind of in limbo, because now they not only know, hey, are we going to actually still be around next season, or will it just be from a financial rebuilding standpoint? So there's still a lot of questions up in the air.
Well, if you look at a team like the Milwaukee Brewers, though, it feels like they want to use more of their minor league players than most. What's your assessment on who will this hurt the most, not having their minor leagues in place?
Yeah, I think it's going to be really a bigger factor for the teams who are very much like in a rebuilding phase, because those are the teams that want more of a stockpile. They want more depth in the pipeline that they can plan to bring up and to continue to cultivate. And because of the fact that these cuts that they're talking about for next year stretch all the way from AA all the way down to rookie ball, it leaves a lot of teams wondering how they're going to fill that. I know they've had a lot of structure or restructuring plans that they've been talking about, where they may shift, you know, what is a Class A affiliate could become a AA affiliate, depending on their location. But for the teams that are looking to fall back on that depth in their pipeline, this could create some problems.
Yeah, I was looking at, and thanks for joining us, by the way. This is amazing. I see that Mexico has canceled their baseball season over the pandemic. And I also see that MLB can't ID the players who test positive, which I'm fine with. How is the media is viewing guys like Zimmerman, the guys who are opting out to say they don't want to play? I mean, that list can get bigger, I'm sure, but the bigger name guys, I just want to know, how is it being viewed? I mean, are people okay with this and they understand? Or do you get some of the fans saying, well, hey, these guys should play anyway. They're getting paid a lot of money and they should just play for the love of the game. You know, stuff like that.
Yeah, it's easy a mix, especially on social media, which we all know can bring out the best of the best and the worst of the worst.
Yeah.
in the reactions we get from fans. I have seen both. I've seen some guys who went as far as to call the players cowards. They said, you make enough money, stop being so weak. And for these fans to say things like that, I think that they struggle to look beyond the fact that for the major league guys, a lot of them are making $1 million or more. Not all of them, but a lot of them have those multi-million dollar deals. And in the fans' perspective, they should be okay. But if you look below the surface, you're looking at these guys going, you know what? I have a wife at home. I've got two or three kids at home. What am I doing for the safety of my family? And obviously, we don't have all the answers about COVID-19. There's still a lot of stuff being discussed and uncovered. But for them to want to put the health of themselves or their families first, I personally don't see how anybody could find fault in that, and especially cast accusations.
And see, I feel bad for the minor leaguers because they're not going to be able to play. And then you see the top pick overall, they're going to pretty much add him into their pool of players. I mean, I guess that would be unprecedented. You want young guys to go down and work their way back up. Do you think we'll see more of maybe the young players playing before their scheduled time? Because I think the Brewers, using the bullpen, they don't need an ace pitcher. You know, it may hurt them in a way. But then again, I think more teams may go what the Brewers are doing, the way your starter just goes two or three innings and just use the whole entire bullpen to win these games.
Yeah, I think you're going to see a lot of creativity when it comes to management styles once they do get things kicked off, and also happy summer camp day to you guys officially.
Oh, thank you. I got seven kids, so I know exactly what you mean.
And I think the biggest thing that really kind of gets called into question in this situation is the development side of things. One of the biggest aspects of minor league baseball is you can't develop everybody the same way. Guys are going to approach development in a unique way. They're going to learn at their own pace. They're going to develop physically at their own pace. And my concern, and anybody who follows me on social media, they know this, I preach development pace all the time, because the last thing you want to do is put out a young guy who, you know, say he's 19 and he's throwing 101 miles an hour. Do you want to risk putting him in a major league situation and having something that completely shakes up his development for the future? And so my hope is that teams approach this cautiously, that they don't dip into those lower-level guys unless it's absolutely necessary, and I'm hoping they'll handle it responsibly from that regard.
Talking with Emily Walden, MILB writer here on the Wendy's Big Show. One last thing concerning the minor leagues. Do you think that a team like the Milwaukee Brewers, you know, that can't spend the money like the Dodgers, can't spend the money like the Yankees and so forth, now have all of these players that aren't going to be allowed to have a year in development, are going to be a year older, value will now decrease, whether you want to trade them at some point or whatever the case may be. Do you think these markets like Milwaukee get hurt more by this shutdown maybe than the bigger markets?
I think it could play a factor. It really does depend, as you guys know, on the type of foundation that these clubs have. What kind of resources do they have access to? How are they able to sort of bounce back from this type of a situation? And you'll start to see again, too, how are these front offices handling it? What guys are really working to keep as much stability in the organization as they can? Because as we all know, everybody's going to handle these types of things differently. And I think we'll see what clubs really have faith in. And those are the teams, I think, that'll sort of stand apart from the pack throughout all of this. But I think at the end of the day, from the minor league perspective, those affiliates are going to hurt, and they're going to hurt for a while, because I think one of the most downplayed aspects to minor league baseball is how valuable these teams are to the communities. I mean, they impact the economy. They impact the people who have lived there. They impact everything in that area. And I don't think that really gets talked about enough. And so for these teams to just be told, sorry, you guys are going to have to make do until 2021, that's a gut punch for a lot of these clubs.
Yeah, it sure is. And that's Emily Walden, covers the minor leagues for The Athletic. And that's a pretty riveting and good conversation there with the guys Wendy's Big Show earlier this week. Stick with baseball. If you missed it, Pat Murphy, Brewers bench coach, reported to duty today. It was testing day as summer camp opens up. We had an opportunity to talk to him a couple hours ago. We'll hear it next. Tim Allen in for the boys. Wendy's Big Show served up hot and fresh. AM 1250 and 105.7 FM, The Fan. Yeah, welcome back, Milwaukee. It's the Wendy's Big Show, AM 1250, 105.7 FM, The Fan. Tim Allen in for the boys today. Dan Plucker is here. A few hours ago, a pretty revealing and entertaining conversation I had with Brewers bench coach Pat Murphy. So check this out. Sit back, relax, and enjoy. I started out our conversation with asking him if he is feeling safe.
Yeah, I think the protocol and the effort people have put in to ensure safety is really astounding. You know, I kind of feel guilty. These people have been working so hard at this thing. You know, I feel like, well, let me help. You know, it's amazing the amount of work that's put in place and the amount of detail and the amount of planning that has went into this. I'm just, it's really impressive, and I feel totally safe.
Yeah, how, I mean, these players got to be just on cloud nine here, getting back to work. I know there was a lot of battle between, and you and I have discussed that, the battle between the players and the owners. All that's in the rearview mirror here, and it just comes down to getting back on the field, getting some drills going, and getting back into baseball shape. They got to be pretty pleased. Has your interaction showed that?
Yeah, I think guys are excited to be back. We're already starting to get on each other and make fun of each other. I asked Smoke if he had a place picked out in Appleton, and that's where the taxi squad's going, I guess. So.
Yep.
Or the reserve players, whatever. And, you know, it's been great. It's been full force, and I think that guys are really excited.
No, and we saw you were on some of the video of a Back to the Future video with Keston and with Suter. What were you doing in there?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure why they had me in there. I don't. You know what's funny is that I saw Back to the Future, but I didn't. It wasn't a movie that I saw more than once. Even though I know it's a classic, and I missed a lot of things that were classic. And anyway, I don't know what part I played, and I don't know the gist of it all. But it was fun doing. I think that seems like 3 years ago we filmed that.
Yeah, that's interesting. Pat Murphy, Brewers bench coach here on the Wendy's Big Show. Pat, a lot has been said about the strategy here between a 60-game schedule versus a 162. And I know a lot has been run up the flagpole between you and Counts and everybody. And, you know, whether it's split starts, we may have to get used to that term maybe around the league, three innings for a starter, piggybacked by another starter. And you guys have done an amazing job with the mix and match. But what strategies might be different for you guys in a 60-game sprint?
Well, I mean, I don't like that term, sprint, because it's definitely shorter. But, I mean, if you cut a marathon four, how long is a marathon?
26 miles, 26, I think.
26 miles, and you take one-fourth of that, okay? We ain't sprinting that. You know what I mean? I don't think it's a sprint. I think it's a readiness to play every game, you know, take care of the next moment. I don't think that the players need to get in a mindset of hurry up. I don't think that's a good athletic mindset anyways. You know, I just don't. We're going to have plenty of time to get in shape. Maybe not plenty of time, but they're not going to be in their best shape, but they'll be in shape to compete. And then 60 games is very revealing. Is it as revealing as 162? No. But they're very revealing.
Well,
you've got plenty of time to play. I just don't think you want to get players sped up.
The concern I have with that, Pat, is that if you get on, if a particular team, and I don't foresee or foreshadow this happening with the Brewers, but if a particular team does get off to just a little bit of a bumpy start, I mean, everyone uses the Nationals as an example last year. Maybe it's apples to oranges, but say a team gets off to a 9-17 mark. That's a good chunk of games, and all of a sudden you're looking up in the standings.
Yeah, no question. I mean, that's 26 games though. If you're not just off to a bad start, if you're 9-17, there's a bunch of changes that need to be made, or you had a bunch of injuries, and that gave the Nationals a chance to recover, and they took advantage of it, and they had a great ball club, obviously, with great players. I think that if you have a rash of injuries like they did, and then you hit some bumps in the road, you need 162. And so to your point, barring injury, I think it can wipe out a lot of things. But I think if you don't get injured, I don't think you need to look at it as a sprint. You need to look at it as just being very consistent day to day. From a mentality standpoint, I guess is where I'm coming from.
Yeah, no, and I
sure
know that. Yeah, well, sure, and I know that that's one of the things I've admired about you baseball guys is that there's really never, outside of the quick maybe minute and a half celebration after a walk off or a big two run double or something, and there's no low lights either in that regard. It's just the status quo, and I'm just maybe it's a situation where you get too high, too low, and you find somewhere in between. I don't know if that's going to fit well with a team that drives with excitement and adrenaline and a full Miller Park, and that's going to be a little bit different, maybe a lot different for you guys.
Yeah, I think there's some players you can identify them. I look at Lokane, I look at Hader. You know, those guys have been amazing major league players, you know, and Lokane, the fans love him because they see how he plays and the interaction between him and the fans, the nonverbal communication. It's just, you can't find anybody in Milwaukee that doesn't love Lo. You know, he's just a lovable guy. And to not have that energy there or not have that adrenaline kick for Hader when he comes in the game, there's just like, there's something about it. You know, when you got the screaming fans and that's flowing back and forth, I just, you know, it's memorable. And hopefully those guys can draw their energy someplace else. But I think other teams are going to have that issue too. So, but it's definitely things to think about. We can think, you know, if you let it happen, your stress level can really build here on this stuff. You know, try to recreate, manipulate. I think you're making a mistake by doing that. You know, you just kind of got to go with it and not resist it and kind of stay at ease.
Yeah. No, I know I'm with you there, but I can't settle down. It's going to be Brewers baseball. I mean, I've been in love with this team since 1971. I mean, it's going to be tough, and it's all an adjustment. And that's the thing. Have you guys discussed that? You know, all of these things are a feeling out process. I know to me, the expanded roster helps your baseball team. I'm convinced of that just because of how you guys manage. You guys manage a certain way, and it's a little bit different than other teams.
Yeah, Counts is a master at making decisions. He is. I mean, he's a master decision maker, and It's great to watch. With more weapons, he can employ more. But when you don't have the pitcher hitting, it's a different game. That's the thing that I don't think sneaky that I don't think people understand. You know, we're all of a sudden a DH team, we're American League team, so to speak. That's a whole different game. Whole different substitute pattern, and it kind of clips the wings of the Brewers a little bit, and kind of how we did things. That kind of forced our hand and that, you know. But I think it's a big disadvantage for National League teams that have never done it.
You
never manage an American League game very often. I mean, you know, you got 10 a year or whatever you do, the interleague, but, 10 at their opponent's site that you play with the DH, I don't think that's enough to get used to it, but.
No, you're right. Yeah. You're right, because the knee-jerk reaction was, oh, wow, okay, Ryan Braun then can be the DH and we can go on from there. But I was really looking forward to seeing that management decision-making style that Counts does have with a Morrison, with a Smoke, with a Jerko, with a Sogard, and just going lefty, right, and double switch here and double switch there. it kind of does level the playing field a little bit. And again, one would think it'd be the advantage immediately, but it's a little more complicated or complex than that.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, the great thing that, that Stearns and Arnold have done, they've constructed this team so it's multifaceted. Like, there's some options here. They've covered themselves, and I love how they've done it. They've taught me a lot about acquisition of players and why. And yeah, I mean, they've got a firm grip on putting us in a position where we're never exposed. I mean, we could lose any player, and it will hurt us. But the exposure levels are, you know, pretty limited.
Well, I would love to see a 20-7 mark, which is what you guys did in the final 27 games of each of these past two seasons. If you hit the pay dirt of the playoffs again this year, Pat, it'll be the first time in franchise history that this team has made the playoffs three consecutive years. I cannot wait for this, although, again, the over and under totals, every team, most teams are sitting right around that 500 or a little bit above mark. Game by game, that's what you do. What'd you do today? Can I ask you what you did today when you reported?
Well, today we weren't allowed to go to the field today because all the testing is not back. So we will start tomorrow.
Gotcha. All right. Is it the real complicated test? Is it the shove up the nose test or no?
Yeah, I don't know that they're complicated, but they're certainly intrusive. but when all the results are back and we're in a good spot, then we'll get on the field. That looks like tomorrow.
And you feel comfortable? The players around feel comfortable. Everyone seems okay with everything.
I mean, the players have made some commitments to, you know, how they want to conduct themselves off the field, and their concerns for their families, and their concerns that, you know, not everybody is just quarantined the whole time, that their families can still do things. And, but it's a big sacrifice. It really is a big sacrifice, but they're willing to do it. They've been great. I don't think anybody's thinking in terms of safety, in terms of like real concern that way. No, nobody wants to get it, but I think everybody is pretty well prepared at the protocol that will happen if you are unfortunate and do get it.
Well, I love it, the fact that we're, less than 3 weeks away from you guys getting going. The schedule's going to be released soon. I have a source, Pat, believe it or not. I have a source that says it's probably going to be the Brewers and Cubs to open up. But it was going to be the Cubs Brewers anyway. And sad news for Jose Quintana, the Brewer killer, that left-hander, is going to be on the shelf for a little bit as he cut himself. Accidents happen, and I'm never going to celebrate over injuries. But I do believe, you seize the advantage when you can. And hopefully we'll be seeing you in the playoffs. We'll be seeing you at Miller Park. And I still believe this, Pat, there will be fans at Miller Park this season. I believe that wholeheartedly, 100%. I think they will work out some distancing where, whether it's the upper deck or the second level or wherever it might be, a section to a family, I do believe that we will see some fans at Miller Park this year.
I sure hope so. I think a lot of people are pulling for it. And I think if it's possible, these people in the Brewers organization will get it done. If it's possible, they'll get it done. What they've done, Roger Kaplinger and his group, the medical staff, I mean, these guys are incredible, man. I'm feeling like, wow, can I do something? These guys have worked.
Yeah, there he is, Pat Murphy, the Brewers bench coach. You can hear that interview at radio.com app or Fan on Demand, 105.7 FM, thefan.com. That's going to do it for this edition of the Wendy's Big Show, served up hot and fresh, AM 1250, 105.7 FM, The Fan. Dan Plucker, nice job today. I appreciate you hanging out with me for
Thanks, Debbie. 4 hours. Appreciate
it. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. You guys have a great weekend. Happy 4th of July, and we'll talk to you soon.
for my city. On, on for my city. Put on.
Later. Bye.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.